Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the Fanguest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is Jack Stern from BrewerFanatic.com. Jack Stern, follow him on Twitter by Jack Stern. I have to know, how long have you had the mustache thing going on? Because you've had it for a while, I feel like. Oh, hold on a second.
I want to say we're going on 5 or 6 years now. The last time that I was clean shaven, I think, was 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Woo-wee. All right, then. That's good. It's a good look for you. I don't mind it. Let's talk about this Brewers baseball team last night. They score 7 runs, 3 home runs. It seemed that everybody questioned if they have enough power to win in the postseasons, put it on display last night. Of the 3 home runs, the Churio one, obviously, is a big one because I didn't want him playing because of the hamstring injury. I rather would have just sat him to make sure he was good. I didn't want to put him possibly having that re-injured. So that was nice to see. But for me, the guy that can really change things in this postseason run, if he gets hot again, is Andrew Vaughn. When he hits that home run, if he gets going again, especially with the power side of things, that's a huge difference maker, Jack.
Yeah, that was his first home run since August 15th, so yep. It had been a while since he got into one like that. But that's just kind of a theme like throughout this Brewers lineup. Vaughn certainly fits into that camp. They have guys throughout that batting order who are strong enough to hit for power. They just don't do it super consistently in games, but obviously the power definitely came out last night.
It certainly did come out last night. And the other thing, too, about this team where we are right now, the numbers are floating everywhere on Jackson Churio, 9 of 17. He's got like 3 home runs and 5 postseason games. The numbers are just absolutely stupid and ridiculous at this point, and I can get down with that. But at the end of the day, I do think slug is going to come into play here. It doesn't have to be home runs, but even if it's just a bunch of doubles that are being put together, you know, in a series, and you look to the middle of that lineup and really from 1 through about 5, and I think that's right where it all comes down to, right? Yelich has to continue to be Christian Yelich and show the power he showed throughout the regular season. If Contreras gets going, and Contreras feels, how do I put it, as connected as ever to getting this thing done based on how he's talking. I mean, after the game last night, hey, who was that Selly thing about? And he quickly quirks that he was calling the Brewers fans. Very well played. I think he may have been mimicking counsel. But either way, that was a well-played deal. That 1 through 5 probably hold the keys to how far this team goes in the postseason as far as how much power they can provide from doubles to triples to home runs in this thing.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. And
this
you know,
is a good interview so far. I'm liking this, Jack. We keep going. All right, go ahead.
I'm playing to my host.
Yeah, that's good.
But
I like
it's like those guys in the top five, those are the guys who definitely have the ability to drive the ball a little more if they can get it on the right trajectories, catch the ball out in front a little bit. And you know, I probably more than anyone, I was in that camp of like the Brewers need to slug enough in the playoffs
Correct.
To win. They might not need to slug as much as other teams, because they do so many other things well, but you need to slug enough. And I think when you look at each of these first two games, that's what they've done. It wasn't the home runs in game one, and everybody likes to bring up the well, they didn't hit any home runs, and the Cubs hit 3, and you know they ended up winning that game 9-3, but they hit a lot of doubles in that game. They were hitting balls hard in the gap, like just the ability to hit the ball hard and get extra bases from one swing or a couple of swings, that matters. And like you look at game two, like, say a Suzuki hits an early 3-run shot, Cubs have the lead. How do you steal that momentum right back? With one swing, Andrew Vaughn. That's the power that the home run has in October. And I think these last two games do reinforce why, like, it is a big deal for these guys 1 through 5 to be driving the baseball. And so far, they've done that in each of these two games.
Talking with our guy, Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. As we get ready for game three tomorrow, 4 o'clock first pitch, leadoff show at 3 o'clock, live from Natty Oaks, National Avenue in West Dallas. Come out, hang out, watch the game. Josh Albert will be there and amongst other fan personalities. Definitely want to stay tuned in for that one if you're looking for a place to watch the game. So the pitching side. We did a whole topic on this show, probably every show in Milwaukee did. How are you going to follow up Aaron Ashby if you're Pat Murphy? And probably 90% of the community in Milwaukee said, well, it's Quinn Priester. Obviously, you knucklehead. What else would it possibly be? And then you see the Craig Counsell interview, a.k.a. Trader, during, and he literally goes, well, I guess it's going to be a bullpen game for them, so we're going to have to figure out how to get some momentum here. He definitely did not expect that to be a bullpen game. I don't think anybody saw it coming from the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the camp of not really thinking it was going to be Quinn Priester, but I thought it was maybe going to be Robert Gasser. You roll another lefty out there who's got an arsenal that kind of matches up better against the Cubs than Priester does. But Robert Gasser didn't pitch either. They did go more full bullpen game, and we did find out after the fact. It turns out Jacob Mizorowski was actually the guy who they were thinking could play a pretty big multi-inning role in that whole thing in the middle innings, and that's exactly how it panned out.
Come on now, be realistic. When he came out there, what were you really thinking was going to happen when he walked out there? What were you thinking was going to occur?
I can pull up the receipts. I was sitting in the press box and I texted our pal Kurt Hoag. I said, my bold prediction is this is going to go well. And it did.
Well, that was a good one. My thought on it was, and why I wanted him on this playoff roster and wanted him to pitch, I had two things. One, I wanted him to start with a clean inning. I did not want him brought in with guys on base. That was a no-no for me because he does not have a lot of experience in that. That was my first thing. My second thing was, I brought up yesterday, I'm like, maybe he's just a guy that pitches bigger in bigger situations. First game up from AAA, no hits. Now he's got that going. He pitches really well in the second game. He gets hit on the comeback, and by the time he comes back, the spotlight's off. Nobody's really talking about him. And then he kind of loses his way a little bit. Now you put the spotlight back on him in a playoff game, in the postseason. He gets ramped up, throwing the ball over 104 freaking miles an hour. And you could tell, even though he wasn't spotting the fastball all that well that in that first inning, that he was ready for the moment. That gives me a lot of hope for the rest of the playoffs here if he is going to be that type of pitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and you know, it's tricky because you can't really get into the head of a player and know for sure how he's handling that stuff, but it certainly looked like watching that game last night that he did a really good job of taking the emotions of the moment, all of the energy and the adrenaline that comes with that moment, and he channeled it the right way. And that's really all you can ask of a young pitcher when he's thrown into a spot like that. I mean, we saw, like, Tobias Myers is a good example. He did that last year when he started Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. And then Mizorowski, a really good example, too. Like, just taking all of that stuff that's going on, and instead of letting that become a distraction, he seemed to use that to his advantage.
102 mile per hour pitches, MLB postseason, from 08 to 2025. Mizorowski had 12 through his first two innings pitched yesterday. And Mizorowski, I mean, there are so many things on here. You can go back. The game had 23 101-mile-an-hour pitches in the game. That's more than were thrown in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 18, 19, 20, or 24 entire postseasons, Jack Stern. In entire postseasons in any of those years. Again, say what you want about Mizorowski, but speed plays, man, and it is not easy to hit. I was saying the other day, we were at Burkhart's in the cages, and this little boy was in there, and his dad's like, oh, let's see if we can try 70 or whatever. So he gets in there. The kid jumps out. He's like, oh, no, 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 I'm not doing this, no. So the dad gets in there, and the kid's watching, and the dad's swinging and missing and fouling off a pitch. And I said, now imagine, Jacob Mizorowski to this little kid. I go, throws 102, 103. Imagine being able to see that and hit that. I don't care if you're a Major League Baseball player or not. That is not easy stuff.
No, and the other thing to note here, too, is we've talked about it a little bit before. Mizorowski's got about as much extension as anybody in MLB. He gets down the mound further than most guys. So he's not only throwing 104 like he was last night, he's releasing the ball
on
so close to the plate that your reaction time is like, it's like 106, basically. And that's why he's here, right? I saw that there were some people, some fans who were confused why he got a roster spot over, say, Tobias Myers or maybe DL Hall. But this is why. You know, those other guys, they did good stuff for the Brewers in the regular season, but they're not going to blow the ball past guys. Jacob Mizorowski has the capability to do that. And that's exactly what it is. Speed plays in October. You need to have guys who you can throw out there in situations who are basically matchup proof. You can throw them out there for a couple innings and you know that their stuff is going to play against anybody you line them up against. And in Jacob Mizorowski's case, as long as he's even remotely competitive, like he wasn't super efficient last night. He walked a couple guys again, but he threw enough competitive pitches. And on those competitive pitches, it was either a swing and a miss, it was a foul ball, or it was a really lazy flyout. Like they did not come close to squaring him up. And that's exactly the kind of arm that you need in the playoffs.
Talk with Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at ByJackStern here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy. Sparky with you on The Fan. Let's talk about the back end of this bullpen. I think everybody was happy with how Jared Koenig finished the season. He looked dominant at times towards the end. That was good. Uribe has done his thing since been giving you this opportunity to close. He struck out the side last night. That was wonderful. The question was on McGill and what he was going to look like coming out of that bullpen because he had been hurt for so long, only had one real opportunity there in September. That, to me, of everybody outside of Mizorowski, was the other promising part of what happened from a pitching perspective.
Yeah, he still wasn't quite the guy that he was before he had that flexor strain. And I guess at this point, I'd be a little surprised if he gets back there by the end of the year. But I think he looked close enough. Like the velocity was down 1 mile an hour on the fastball. So that's 98 instead of 99. And you are splitting hairs a little bit once you get to that point. But seeing that he had enough confidence in throwing the curveball as much as he did last night is a big one for me. Because sometimes these guys who throw the power breaking balls, those can be the pitches that are tougher on your elbow, and he's coming off the flexor strain and all this stuff. But he also needs that pitch for that, you know, that high tier velocity to play the way that it does, because he needs to have something that prevents guys from sitting on that fastball, especially because it's not a fastball that has a lot of movement. So if guys can time it up, you do run the risk of getting hit around a little more. But the fact that he seemed to feel comfortable enough in that breaking ball to throw it even more than he threw his fastball last night and get some weak contact with that, I think that's probably what the path is going to have to look like for him a little bit, especially if he can't quite ramp it up to triple digits like he usually did in the regular season. But, you know, just to kind of reiterate, not quite the same version of Trevor McGill, but I think what we saw last night was close enough to that version that he can get some big outs in the playoffs.
All right, give me your preview. Jameson Taillon going for the Cubs. He pitched well his one start in the postseason so far against Quinn Priester, who's been saved here. I think when you do what you did to have Priester pitch in Game 3, where the wind apparently they're saying is going to be blowing in at Wrigley tomorrow, if that's the case, you're trying to end this thing tomorrow. You ain't trying to get to Game 4 or Game 5. You were hoping to get that bullpen win and then try and get the knockout punch Wednesday and then be able to wait till Monday for the LCS to start back in Milwaukee. That's what it looks like to me. How do you look at this game coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, I think this is really important because kind of like you just touched on, the ability to build in those extra off days, if you can take this in three games, that's no small deal, especially with Jackson Chourdio dealing with the hamstring injury, just with getting your pitching lined up the way that you want to. It is a big deal. So if I'm the Brewers, I'm going into this game and I am pushing the gas pedal down all the way because you have a chance to end it here. And you know, you never know what can happen when a series goes back to another team's home ballpark, but the reality is the Cubs are the ones who have their backs up against the wall. The Brewers are kind of playing with house money right now. And to me, that's something that bodes well for them. Like, all of the pressure is on Chicago here to try and mount a comeback in this series. That's not to say the Brewers can lay off the intensity at all, but they should be feeling pretty good about where they're at right now. And, you know, I was going into this series assuming that it was going to be a tight series. I thought it was going to go to five games.
So did I.
After seeing what I saw the first two nights, I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. I think the Brewers are going to wrap this up before this thing gets back to American Family Field.
I like celebrating at Wrigley. I like celebrating in their clubhouse. It sounds like a great plan from a Brewer fan perspective. Celebrating with a trader watching on from the dugout as he lost to the Brewers, a team that he spurned for more money. I'm fine with it. Jack Stern, thank you so much. BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter. Bye, Jack Stern. I appreciate it so much, man, and have fun down in Chicago.
Yeah, you got it, Sparky. Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.